Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, it's Thursday, and it's time to welcome you to Waypoints.
What is this? Wait, what's going
on? Where's Rob?
Where the Waypoints staff and friends take a break to nerd out and deep dive on the culture, art, and entertainment that's been inspiring and provoking us lately.
Where's Rob?
Gathered around the table this Thursday, we've got Danielle Riendo.
Hi, I'm not Rob either.
What is this voice you're doing?
In front of me, virtually, Patrick Klepek.
I refuse to acknowledge this timeline. Did I get hit by a car looking for my cat and end up in an alternate universe?
And
what's up, oatmeal?
And I am Renatalie Zaxson.
Renatalie Zaxson.
Oh, now it makes sense.
Renatalie Zaxson.
Rob has, this is Natalie. Rob has knighted me.
Oh.
Yesterday, yeah. Into taking up the helm of Waypoints this week because unfortunately he is sick with the flu. Send him all of your well wishes because the flu sucks.
Yes.
Today,
and please call 911 if you need to. You have a horrible flu.
Yeah, the flu is dangerous,
really bad,
y'all.
Actually,
it's dangerous out there. But today on Waypoints, we've got 2.5. Really,
Kingdom Hearts 2. But we're just gonna talk about. We're gonna, you know what? We're just gonna go back over Kingdom Hearts.
Okay. Just kidding,
feel like
y'all.
We need a refresher.
It's lore reasons. Lore reasons. Just kidding. That's on Friday. stay tuned for a great episode of Lore Reasons. It's Friday. I'm really excited about it. But today's Waypoints, y'all. And today we're gonna talk about first up on the docket. Is my waypoint because I'm leading this and I get to put mine first.
Wow.
My thing on the docket is the New York Times.
Just read it. Can you read your segment title, please?
Oh, yeah. My segment title is What the Fuck is Glitter and What Is It In?
It's a 2003 movie. Starring Mariah Carey.
I know y'all seen this. Maybe you haven't, but. Glitter has been in everyone's minds this online.
Is that true?
It's on the mind. It's inside the mind.
Welcome to Waypoints. What's on the minds of the internet?
That's basically what this is, right? I mean, we're just talking about what's on our minds on the internet these days. Mm-hmm. But the New York Times ran an article this past December. I can't believe that this came out in December and I'm only just now finding it. The New York Times ran an article this past December that came to my attention this past week called What is Glitter? Which is just SEO, a work of SEO art, because anyone that Googles what is glitter is just, the New York Times owns that space now. So
also, if you were to ask someone, I feel like it's a sort of like stupefying question. Like, everyone knows what glitter is, but if you asked,
but like, what
if you just ask someone,
glitter?
What is glitter? Like,
I will tell you.
I feel like it introduces immediate stammering.
Totally,
like,
fire? And it's like, it's the thing that you would just Google. Like, what is glitter? I don't know. Yeah. What
That's
is
a good question. Like, let's get another round of drinks and look at talk about what glitter's Wikipedia page.
Yes.
I mean, honestly.
I mean, yeah, that is like something that's definitely happened in the history of humanity with Google. So... I can't stop thinking about this article. This article has fucked me up. I sent it to Austin, and then he tweeted it out. And I'm jealous that he tweeted it before I did because it's a great... It's mind-boggling, and I wanted people to send me their thoughts about glitter. But I will read some from Austin's tweet thread later. This article is written by Katie Weaver, and it was accompanied
by my favorite writer. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
Are you a Katie
stan?
On
the whole internet, Katie Weaver has written some of my favorite pieces of all time.
Like
I'm
what?
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's no. awesome. What else is... I'm not familiar with her. I didn't, like, look her up after.
Yes. So, Katie Weaver, a favorite writer of mine in all... Like, favorite internet culture celebrity ephemera writer by far and away. She has written, of course, about Nicki Minaj as a Red Lobster waitress. And the many Red Lobsters Nicki Minaj had been fired from, including there's a story about a pen, which I'll just briefly say. Apparently, Miss Nicki Minaj, I worked at Red Lobster before that, and I chased a customer out of the restaurant once so I could stick my middle finger up at her and demand that she gave me my pen back. I swear to God, I was bad. There's many other choice, beautiful quotes about stolen pens and other things. This is maybe my favorite piece to read when I'm having a bad day, but it's urgent message for Red Lobster. Stop hiring Nicki Minaj as a waitress by Katie Weaver. And her career, Ms. Weaver has written a number of pieces that have uplifted me and made my life better. And this is just one in a glorious long chain of those
amazing
things.
Yes. I will say that reading this article was cool because you feel her voice through it a lot. And I mean, this could have been like a very, very like straightforward reported piece.
Reads like a normal person. Yeah, something's like a what? Yeah. Like instead of like calmly going through it, the article like says the equivalent of like what?
Yeah, I'll read a little segment in a second.
I was not ready for like that. I was not familiar with her work, and so I was like really taken aback and charmed immediately. I was like,
too.
Oh, this is the way to write this article. But it was jarring to see it juxtaposed against the New York Times. Not that they don't run more casual writing, but it's usually relegated to an opinion section. I don't know. I just was not prepared for it. It read very internet.
Yeah.
Which is like, I expected this to be on like a Tumblr blog, and I mean that in like the most complimentary way possible. It is far more in line with like writing that like we do, that
yeah,
is more
totally.
Like personal voice.
Voicey. Yeah, totally. So I loved that. I just love the experience of reading this. It felt like a whirlwind. I was walking with her through this whirlwind journey.
Mm-hmm.
Whirlwind journey.
Yes.
Try to say that five times
Nailed
fast.
It.
And it's also accompanied by some beautiful photographs by Chris Maggio.
Yes.
What the fuck is glitter? Let me tell you. Turns out, glitter is, quote, aluminum metallized polyethylene.
Yes.
Terephthalate. Basically, this is a quote from the article. What is glitter? The simplest answer is one that will leave you slightly unsatisfied, but at least with your confidence in comprehending basic physical properties intact. Glitter is made from glitter. Big glitter begets smaller glitter. Smaller glitter gets everywhere. All glitter is impossible to remove. Now never ask this question again. Like, that's just such a great, it's so great. So yeah, basically, glitter is just glitter. I don't know. It's like
this is garbage.
Okay. So she talks about
particulate matter.
Yeah. She talks about how it was like originally sort of discovered by someone like a German engineer who was making like tiny, tiny pieces, was like breaking down scrap metal or
yes.
something like that. And so that was sort of like the first concoction of glitter. She goes
and
to
sat
like,
on the patent for 30 years.
Yeah.
So it was
yeah.
like a German immigrant in New Jersey, I
yeah,
believe.
Yeah.
Like a farm manufacturer. There was something about farms.
Yeah.
The machinery that he made. And he like sat on the patent for this thing for 30 years, which is bananas to
yeah,
me.
Yeah,
anyway,
that is bananas.
Sorry.
Especially because what I've come to understand about the glitter industry is that it is very secretive and like closed doors and people can't really get in at all, which is
in a way that now I actually want like the New York Times
yes.
investigative unit to like something is happening here.
Yes.
It is weird how secretive it is and it's played for a joke in this piece, but actually
there needs to be a follow-up.
There needs to be some
There needs to be a follow-up because I'm seriously losing my mind. apparently, the reason why we like glitter so much is because it reminds us of fresh water. That is the most supported research or the theory that has found favor. What Katie says is that we like sparkly water. We like it a lot, so we like glitter.
please don't do that again.
the two main glitter manufacturers are close to us in New Jersey. Weaver says from the article, the rumored farm site of glitter's invention refused to answer any of my questions. We are a very private company, a representative said via email. The second is Glitter X. what a name. So
the glitter company run by Mr. X from Resident Evil 2.
Yeah, just, or know, is this like an Elon Musk venture?
Once that whole umbrella stuff didn't work out, he could just smash it with his own fucking hands.
Love and it.
Just build his own business.
Love it. So Katie ends up going through, she tries to get to like the actual manufacturing plant, and the head of the company is like, no, absolutely not. So she goes to like their office headquarters, and is walked through, you know, the actual process by which, the chemical process by which glitter is made, not like super descriptive, because the glitter industry is shrouded in secrecy, and I need to know more. But the process by which it is made and who it is sold to are like the two aspects that are like the most secretive about the industry itself, which, you know, Katie sort of like talks about how like, oh, is it because you don't want other people to make the kind of glitter you do? Like, you don't want people to know, certain companies don't want other companies to know where they get their glitter from because they don't want them making like identical formulas. Like, you think about the cosmetics industry and things like that. It makes a lot of sense. But there is a subsection of this article that I would like to, a section of this article that I would like to read that just absolutely fucked me up. here it is.
Fuck me up, Natalie.
I'm about to fuck y'all up. Here it goes. This is all, wait, forthright. There we go. This was all very forthright, but it did not explain the air of oppressive secrecy that seems to permeate the glitter industry. Did GlitterX worry I would describe its equipment so accurately that readers might construct their own machines to manufacture their own glitter in bulk quantities? Mr. Shetty said that, trade secrets aside, confidentiality is a top-down requirement from clients. Companies do not want others in their industry to know what glitters are in their products to prevent competitors from making identical formulations. When I asked Ms. Dyer if she could tell me which industry served as GlitterX's biggest market, her answer was instant. No, I absolutely know that I can't. I was taken aback. But you know what it is? Oh, God, yes, she said, and laughed. Ha, ha, ha. And you would never guess it. Let's just leave it at that. I asked if she could tell me why she couldn't
say that.
I asked if she could tell me. We talked about this on Lore Reasons. You don't tell people that you know something that you can't tell them. You don't tell friends that. That's not being a good friend. Okay,
no.
Anyway, back to the quote. I asked if she could tell me why she couldn't tell me. Because they don't want anyone to know that it's glitter. If I looked at it, would I know it was glitter? No, not really. Would I be able to see the glitter? Oh, you'd be able to see something, but it's... Yeah, I can't. I asked if she would tell me off the record. She would not. I asked if she would tell me off the record after this piece was published. She would not. I told her I couldn't die without knowing. She guided me to the automotive-grade pigments. Just...
I love the idea of this woman going home at night. You know, this is like a spokesperson, right? This is like a media relations person. That's how I read it. And like, you know, she's like, she has like a little sweater, a little khaki, whatever, like very nicely done up. Like, I just love picturing that she like goes home at night and then like changes to like a superhero outfit. And then she goes to like the manufacturing plant and does whatever it is.
Yeah,
in secret, in like a special outfit with a cape.
Yeah, it feels like that. It feels like... This is just like some just
We're consuming glitter, right? This is the takeaway. We are eating glitter every day. If we found out that we were consuming glitter at the quantities that we are, even if it's not dangerous, it would make us all mildly upset to know that we are shitting pounds of glitter on a yearly basis, like fucking unicorns.
But what they say in the article is that the average American sees glitter every day. If it looks like glitter, it's glitter. So I'm trying to think, like, what is sparkly? What is sparkly? What is glittery?
But she said it wouldn't look like it.
Well, no. She said you'd be able to see something.
Something.
But not all.
Because she says, would I be able to see the glitter? And she says, oh, you'd be able to see something. And she says earlier that if it looks like glitter, it's glitter.
Okay.
Probably. So.
I thought it was like condoms or sex toys or like something that like helps explain.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's glitter in sex toys. Like spice it up. I don't know. Aesthetic.
Well, that's the same way that I was thinking, because I know one of the common speculation has been toothpaste. It's like, I remember as a kid, you know, parents would get you the toothpaste that had like the weird colors.
Yeah.
Definitely have sparkles, which I guess could have been glitter. Sure. I don't know.
I could see that.
How they made those sparkles like that. But that's not in toothpaste right now. The implication here is like you, average adult that is not using children's toothpaste to spice up the toothpaste experience. You are encountering glitter on a regular basis that you aren't aware of. But if you were aware of, you'd recognize it. Like that's a very specific way of framing the encounter with glitter.
So what
sidewalks?
I think there is glitter in sidewalks. I think there's literally just glitter. I think there is. Like when you look at, you know, when you look at a fresh sidewalk and it's like a little sparkly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a good one. But I don't think I would be surprised. I don't think I would be fucked up if I found out that there's glitter.
Right.
That feels like it makes sense.
So to Austin's tweet. Austin tweeted February 8th, 2019 at 7:12 p.m.
Good.
From a Twitter web client.
Good.
I will not sleep until we collectively discover what this glitter use is. Mm-hmm. And retweeted at Gamma Guts's initial. This is the initial way that I found this, was through this tweet thread that had the article linked. So the first one says probably apples, which is not a bad, I think, you know, when you think about like how sparkly fruit are at the supermarket, okay, makes sense. But the thing is, I know that fruit is covered in a wax.
Right. That was a whole thing.
That was a whole thing.
That was like a scandal in the late 80s, early 90s.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, to like make it reflective?
Yeah.
Like
to make
in
it
a
look
supermarket?
Yummy. Because we like glitter and shiny.
Glossy things, yeah.
Water.
Well, it's like the same way that like meat is artificially like made red because we just think that meat
That's
should look
glitter.
Red. You don't, yeah.
It's glitter.
What? Wait, meat is?
I mean, meat is red, but it changes color over time naturally.
Yeah.
But then what? Like
is that the red juice at the bottom?
No, that's blood.
God.
Should we just shut down this podcast, Kyle?
Oh, wow.
No. Should we just read the website thing from last week too, Natalie? How deep do you want to go?
I'm sorry.
Go read about it. It is fascinating because it's related to the thing you're talking about of like how industries prioritize aesthetic because consumers actually prioritize aesthetic even if they don't vocalize it, but they respond to it because they end up prioritizing that in their purchasing habits.
Yeah, all the ugly vegetables get thrown away before they even get to your supermarket. Perfectly fine, ugly potatoes.
Look, Theresa May just likes to take off the mold at the
top
of
there,
the jelly and eat the jelly beneath it.
Please
because if you
not.
Get rid of those poison spores, yo, it's just good under there. Everyone knows if you just scoop out the gross, who among us?
I've missed something. I realize I've missed
What did
something.
We miss?
But who does this?
What?
You know,
oh,
everyone.
Oh, Theresa May.
Including
she really
Theresa
does
May.
This?
This is a thing that she has come out and said that she does.
Oh, my God.
Is eat spory jams.
Dangerous foods is a trigger for me.
Oh, yeah? We won't talk about bad foods anymore then.
No! No!
No. No more bad
Welcome
foods.
Welcome to the Sporecast.
No!
I... I hate it. Okay. This is probably the most what's the word for it? This is probably the most sensible guess is that it's used in
alien
money.
Alien alloys.
It is an alien alloy used in money.
It's probably money, right?
Makes sense.
Because also related to, interestingly, like they've been, the GlitterX company has been contracted by like law enforcement.
Yes.
Because glitter can be, like, because of the specific patterns that can be created, it can be used as sort of a tracking mechanism.
Yeah, and,
I forget the exact
and
like,
also,
example.
It's the fact that it's like impossible to get out of anything. So it's the fact that glitter is so hard to remove the FBI have used it in like crime scene investigations or something. And
they
then
just throw, you just, hey, get that, stop that bad guy, throw glitter at him. Well, that's how we'll get him. Being from a personal experience, recently my daughter is very into the Disney Junior show Fancy Nancy based on the book series. It's a wonderful show. I actually like Fancy Nancy. I like the theme song. I'll like hum it to myself.
Nancy Drew?
No, Fancy Nancy, she is a young, like, I don't know, 7-year-old girl that just likes to be into fancy things because it makes her feel better about herself, even though she seems to be part of, like, a modest middle-class family.
I thought this was
anyway,
about our new CEO.
She wears these fancy-looking dresses that you can buy for a very fancy $30 to $40 mm-hmm. at your local Target.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother-in-law came into town recently. He's like, oh, I know she's really into Fancy Nancy. And so he bought, like, whatever the Target dress was, which at first was like, that's really kind of you, like she's gonna lose her mind for this dress. Put it on, well, the middle of this dress is just full of glitter, and let me tell you, whatever glue they used to attach that glitter did not function properly. They didn't use GlitterX, apparently.
No.
They used this private farm company that doesn't want to talk to anyone, which is even more secret than the GlitterX company. Honestly, if we're like being true to ourselves about what's happening, they should go to the fucking farm and find out what's happening there.
Agreed.
The glitter got all over my couch, all over the floor. I could not take it off her the first day because you take something away from a toddler they're in love with. It's the consequences of that were worse than me cleaning up the glitter. But she went to bed. I took that goddamn dress and I put it in the trash.
No.
And said, you're never touching that dress again, Jessica.
Wow. You're banning glitter from your household?
No, I was banning the glitter that would not stay on that dress from my household because, true to the article, it was everywhere. Like, I spent a week slowly cleaning up different parts of, like, the downstairs of our house where I'd find another pocket of this
goddamn substance. Well, apparently, fabric softener sheets, dryer sheets. Reduce like the static cling that glitter has since it's like metallicized.
Oh.
So that is useful to help clean up. That's what this article said. I learned that today. I learned anyway.
Very nice.
So yeah, anti-counterfeit measure. Oh, the one that they quoted in the article that really got me was zookeepers or like animal. Like putting glitter in animal feed or like people like conservationists or I think that's a word. Putting glitter in animal feed and then like tracking the poop because then you have sparkly poops.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
that's clever.
That's
very
clever.
I was like, that makes so much sense.
So much sense.
They'll just pass it. Yeah.
So much sense. Car paint is obvious. Car paint sparkly.
There was a line, if I may, that I also found very delightful in this piece where she looks at, I don't think it was like the factory floor, it was like the shipping floor. There was some sort of a industrial process she was able to witness where she talked about it looking like, you know, a factory floor that was overcome by mountains of pixies, I believe, which was a very delightful thought.
She has this one, I loved this section where she talks about, where is it? She talks about like the pretty, oh, here it is. That is until one entered the bottling warehouse itself, which looked like an industrial manufacturing plant colonized by pixies. The concrete floor was finally coated with what appeared to be crushed moonbeams.
Yes.
The forklift winked with shiny crimson flecks. The metal coils of the conveyor belt shone with a rainbow crust. Yeah, I love that she like so talks nice. About it like emerald hearts, pewter diamonds, samples of the night sky collected from over the Atlantic Ocean. It's just it's a really evocative article, and I highly recommend it. So my number one guess for what glitter is in that we don't know.
Oh shit, we should probably all do this, huh? Including you, Kato. You need to yell at the mic.
Yeah, Kato, you need to yell at
the
mic.
Think about it.
Mine is glass. Mm.
Look, I'm now looking around.
Mine is glass. Yeah, that's it.
This shirt is kind of shiny.
I don't want to put any reasoning behind it, but that's my guess. Well, actually, no, I take it back. Because that wouldn't freak me out if I knew that glass. It has to freak me out. So my
right, like a liquid.
My new guess.
It's in, you know what? Kombucha. It's in kombucha.
It's in aerosols. It's in Pam. It's in Pam. It's in spray.
So I'm spraying the pan to make my pancakes.
Yes.
For my daughter. I'm ingesting her with glitter.
Yes. That's my guess. I'm that's my final word on it. Danielle.
Underwear.
Sure.
Glitter sewn in microscopic quantities to your underwear.
I believe it.
To make it look cleaner.
Track that booty.
Make it look cleaner than it truly is.
I accept this submission. it's a good one. Patrick, what's yours?
I liked I think one of the suggestions I saw was like shampoo and conditioner. Mm-hmm. That one felt, because it's the right, it's probably not something you consume, right? But it's something that is intimate in some way.
Yeah.
And you have, so that's why like glass like is closer to that, right? Like, cause you'd be putting your, you know, putting your mouth on it on a daily basis. Maybe it's like surprisingly in some sort of plastic or, you know, or something that's like used in a lot of things that are intimate. But yeah, I think shampoo or conditioner or something like that feels right. Because it'd be like, oh shit, like for 15 years I've just been rubbing glitter in my scalp.
Right in there.
Great. That's what dandruff actually is. It's the glitter.
Glitter that's lost its luster.
Yep. And it just lives in your head. On your head.
Damn. Good. That explains a lot.
Yep. Kato, please.
It's in candy.
Oh,
think about how many shiny candies you can think of, or like things that look that have a sheen to them.
Sure,
it's in fucking Taffy.
Not that one. That one's pretty opaque.
Some of the
actually.
Other ones,
you know, some like clear hard candies, probably things like that. It's absolutely
Werther's
in candy.
Originals.
That's also opaque.
That's good.
Like the sour one, like the sour
patch
kids.
Yeah, like
Sour like
Patch
that.
Kids. Ooh, I want to try some sour glitter. Yum. Anyway, we are gonna, I think that ends it for our glitter conversation. We're gonna take a quick break and come back with our next segment, BRB.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Our next segment, brought to you by the lovely Danielle Riendo.
Hello.
Who we should say, should we say?
Sure.
Happy birthday, Danielle.
Thank you. I can be president. Woo!
Technically, today will be, or the day that you're losing.
I'm announcing my run. So my waypoint is announcing my run. I'm bidding. I'm going to go on the gay agenda.
Love it.
That is my platform.
Love it.
For a presidential run.
Excellent. I'm here for it.
Thank you. Thank you.
But you've brought us a gift on your birthday.
A gift. Yes. So my beautiful waypoint is something I'm very excited about. Mm-hmm. I have two episodes left, actually, so, you know, we'll see what happens. But I have been really into Russian Doll, which is a Netflix show. It just, I think it's pretty new. I don't think it's been up for super, super long. I actually don't have that in my notes when it went up. But yeah, it is a series.
A week ago.
Okay, so it is relatively recent. It is a series that was created by Natasha Lyonne, who also stars. She co-wrote a couple of the episodes. Amy Poehler's also has Amy Poehler, rather. She's not pluralized. Also has a development credit. And Leslie Headland, who I don't know as well.
Yeah.
But they're the co-creators. And it is a really, really fun, sometimes extremely dark TV series about a woman named Nadia, who on the eve of her 36th birthday attends an amazing party by her wacky friends. And this whole thing is like just the most like New York, you know, people mm-hmm. kind of thing in the world. Mm-hmm. And she dies. And she just keeps reliving the same day over and over. But it's not the same day. Sometimes she goes for a couple of days. Some days she goes for a couple of hours. But she keeps reliving. She keeps dying and sort of being restarted in the bathroom at this party.
Yeah.
And is this like really both goofy and bright and interesting and wild and also, again, sometimes very, very dark sort of look at meditation on life and what it means to be alive and what mm-hmm. it means to be a human being. And also what it means to be a game designer, which is a portion of this that I would love to talk about. But I know, Natalie, that you've seen a couple of episodes.
I have.
Patrick, I think you've seen a couple of episodes. We'll probably only go up to episode 2 in terms of,
yeah,
you know, anything we'll talk about. We won't talk too much about twists and turns or anything like that, because it does take
some twists and turns.
And some turns, let me tell you, which is appropriate. I mean, it's appropriate for this type of thing, this sort of time loop sort of conceit, yeah. Which, Natalie, I know in your notes you had talked about this being, you know, Happy Death Day and Groundhog Day. It's also a really sort of an old chestnut of sci-fi. Like, yeah, every single Star Trek series has, like, a time loop episode of, mm-hmm. like, oh, the crew's reliving the same day and they have to, like, figure out what to do to reset the loop. Or
yeah,
it's in, like, a lot of action-adventure shows. Like,
yeah,
I know
totally.
there was totally a Xena episode about this. So, like, it's an old chestnut of, like, a TV, like, a genre TV sort of thing. But it's treated here with both a little bit more seriousness. Like, yeah, the death scenes are pretty...
They're
brutal,
pretty gruesome.
At times.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It definitely has like a dark comedy kind of feel to it. It's not as like horror comedy as Happy Death Day, and Groundhog Day is like kind of more
straight comedy.
More or
less, yeah.
But yeah, what's interesting about this one is the fact that what you were saying earlier is that it doesn't reset at midnight. It resets She navigates for basically as long as she can.
Yeah.
Until she's like foiled, which is super interesting. And yeah, I was curious. I actually haven't seen Happy Death Day, but I kind of wanted to ask you, Patrick, about your thoughts. I know you're a fan of that film. About your thoughts of how there are similarities. I think it's really fascinating that this is centered around specifically a birthday, which Happy Death Day is also.
Happy Death Day sequel.
Happy Death Day to you
today.
Yeah, which is apparently part of a proposed trilogy, which is just delightful.
good.
And I think the first one is a modern classic. It's I think, you know, 10 years from now it'll be one of those movies that people are like, you should see the shit out of this. It's something like Be Good and Rewatch It would watch 10 years from now. be like, yeah, that movie was fucking good. And it's like, yeah, like the sort of conceit runs the scale, right? Like, what is it servicing? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like, is it servicing the characters learning something about themselves?
Yeah.
Or is it purely like a puzzle to be solved? And is the puzzle actually to unearth anything about the characters? Or like in Happy Death Day, it is literally just about like, why does this woman, you know, keep on dying? And because it's a horror film, it's a clever excuse for like a comedic, like gratuitous mm-hmm. deaths.
Yeah.
Not ones in which you're like watching someone like slowly tortured and it's gory. It's for you to laugh at like these really slapstick ways that someone both on purpose and on accident could die over and over again mm-hmm. when they're participatory in the act. And so character arcs to whatever degree that movie requires them in order for a plot to advance. That's not really what you come away from. It's more, Happy Death Day is way more focused on the puzzle box in service of the puzzle box and really in service of, could there be another puzzle box that you could open in a sequel, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, the series and Groundhog Day to a lesser extent. And then this movie, by virtue of it being a television show, like, is given an opportunity to, like, go on a wider, a deeper lens than, like, other formats. Like, usually this like, you know, Daniel, you mentioned Xena. Well, that's one episode, right? Yeah. It's a one-off. And it's, like, instead, it says, well, what if you were to stretch this concept out? And normally in this age, you know, of endless television, that is used to, like, it's exploited. And it's just, at some point you should be like, hey, this only actually needed three or four. Mm-hmm. But I've heard, I haven't only watched the first episodes, but I've heard that this show, like, does a really wonderful job. One, the episodes are 30 minutes or less. Yeah. Like, the first episode, I think, is 24 minutes. The second episode is 27 minutes, which is, like, it's a show that is aware of how far it can stretch a gimmick.
Yeah.
And then how far can you take that gimmick to mine something personal? Because it becomes pretty obvious early on. They're like, oh, this is going to be, although it regularly mines the comedic value, mm-hmm. It clearly is a show that's like, hey, at some point we're going to say something that's pretty serious, even if I haven't seen much of that by the second episode.
Totally. It knows when to, like, do, like, the quick succession of, like death, like, dying, dying.
The stairs
sequence.
Yeah, like,
oh, those stairs.
And then when to, like, drag it out. And, like, when to, like, learn the lesson. Okay, now I've figured out that this is, like, not the path I'm supposed to go down. I'm supposed to do something else. And then it knows, like, when to kind of get the cheap shot again.
Oh, yeah.
In a way that doesn't feel, like, repetitive or, like, you know, it's, like, very much pulling the rug from under the character in a way that feels super authentic. I was really impressed with that. I was also really impressed with, you know, just about the show itself, how you were talking about, Danielle, like, the context, like, New York City, East Village apartment, you know, this is, like, a super diverse friend group. There's, like queer sex being, like,
it's kind of in the background.
Like, yeah, in the
just
background.
The
it's
place.
Just, like, yeah. context.
Well, it is all over, right? It's not a one-off,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's
not
all
like,
over
oh, haha, here's our queer character.
Yeah,
like,
no,
it's like,
it's
that is the norm, yep. And then, like, everything else is the exception.
Yeah, the fact that it's just, like, casual and, like, just, like, it is happening. Like, this is just all happening. Like, they're taking, you know, they're partying. They're celebrating this person's birthday. And it is, like, not, like, a point, like, not something to point at. It's not something to, like check something off. It just feels like narrative background almost.
This feels like knowing creative people in New York.
Yeah.
I've been to a million of those parties.
Yeah.
And, like, they're fun and great. And there's a wonderful sense of, like, both whimsy and also, this is just real.
Yeah.
This is just what it's like.
Yeah.
It's like we're going to go to the bodega. Somebody screwed something up.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's cool. He's working on his novel. It's fun. Like, it's just the sort of wonderful mishmash. And that is, like, the reason I keep staying in the city, even though the MTA, you know, makes me want to just, yeah, bad. Just bad. It's bad.
It's bad.
It's bad to get around. Weather's bad. But the thing that keeps me here is this actual, like, genuine diversity of, like, every type of human who has every type of personality and every type mm-hmm. of trait just kind of lives here and deals with it.
Yeah.
And this show does a great job of that. Like, it recalled Broad City for me in certain ways. Like, this is older. It's a little older, and there's a lot more sort of darkness here.
Yeah.
There was, like,
which
a
Amy
vibe.
Amy Poehler also helped
exactly.
Develop.
Yeah.
So
she's
there is a creative through
mastermind there as well. And certainly there's a whiff of Orange is the New Black here, of course, with Natasha Lyonne and several performers who are in Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, Dasha.
In here.
I forget her last name.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Who's lovely in this.
Dasha
as well.
Polanco.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Yeah,
and,
she's great.
And just, I have to note, one thing that I'm having a lot of fun with watching it is not just the sort of puzzle box, but the, like, very specific, like, adventure game design mm-hmm. of this entire series, which, again, I'm not going to talk about too much, but mm-hmm. Nadia is a game designer, and you see a little bit more of that as you kind of go through, and she sort of approaches a lot of things, especially at first, with this, like, adventure game logic, like, okay, yeah. I got to, paraphrasing, I got to get the key here, I got to figure this out, I got to figure this out, I have to figure this out, I have to figure this out from this character. I need to, like, go to this scenario to figure X, Y, and Z mm-hmm. out to get to
she,
this,
like,
door.
Gets the information she needs and then doesn't need, like just
to repeat that portion.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is really fun and an interesting concept, because a lot of times in this type of story, the characters do relive things a whole bunch of times, mm-hmm. and they just sort of bang their heads against things before they start down that process. But she immediately, as like a game designer, is like, oh, okay. I mean, she's confused and she's upset, and there's a lot of upsetting things and confusing things about this. But yeah. she immediately is just like, well, you know, she kind of takes like a, this is my life now, and this is my what I need to do to mm-hmm. kind of figure things out. Whether or not she's upset about it is mm-hmm. like also very important and very interesting, but it does have this sort of, I thought, a fun added element to this.
Yeah, it's interesting in comparison to like Groundhog Day, which, you know, the main character like lives in that day for a while before he like tries to solve it, like, and like understandably you know, that's a fucking shit situation, but to be reliving the same fucking Pennsylvania or whatever Groundhog Day in
I'm just gonna let that one sit. Keep going.
What is it?
Nothing. What? I know, just keep, you know, I finish your point. I was really interested. It was interesting.
What's wrong with Pennsylvania, Phil?
Pennsylvania also Orange is the New Black character.
In the reboot, when they got to change things around.
What did I do wrong?
Pennsylvania.
Nothing. You didn't do... Natalie, you, in your past, in your present, in your future, have never done anything wrong.
Puxitani.
Keep that quote.
Puxitani? Puxitani. Okay. Pennsylvania, Puxitani. Phil.
You know.
Anyway, that guy is sad for a lot of the beginning and, like, just kind of fucking takes advantage of it, like, has, like, no sort of intention of getting out. And there's a great article that I'd recommend for anyone who, there's a great interview with Natasha Lyonne. From Variety, called Natasha Lyonne on Importance of Quantum Consequences and Connection in Russian Doll, after you finish the show. I don't think it has super spoilers, but it's super fascinating to hear her talk about this sort of thing. But
yeah,
back to what you were saying is, yeah, she's like specifically a programmer. She like she's specifically a coder in
Rock and Roll Games.
At Rock and Roll Games. Yeah.
The fake game name is amazing. It slipped my mind, but it is very like,
I didn't even
shoot
catch
and kill
that
seven. And like, it's a very, you know, very funny. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, I did not catch that until right now, which is extremely good. But yeah, she immediately is like, all right, what's my clue? Like, she specifically says, like, what's my first clue? Yeah. And yeah, I do think there's, like, a gaminess to it.
Which is a lot of fun. It's funny how many approaches she has, even in the first couple of episodes, to what is, you know, the idea of sort of solving something. If we want to talk about episode 3, I do have a quote from the rabbi, or I can keep it very vague, that she does sort of seek spiritual advice as well. It's almost like she takes like adventure game logic and spiritual advice and moral advice and the advice of a mental health worker. Mm-hmm. Like she goes through all these approaches of like, how do I solve this problem? Which also feels kind of like, well, this is what you do in life, right? When you have a problem, you try many different approaches. You try to figure out life. You try to figure out what the hell is going on with all this sort of miasma of different stimuli or different things that are happening to you. You have to figure out which ones are important and which ones are just sort of fluff or just sort of happening in the background, which is also a lot of fun and ties into that sort of puzzle box thing, I think, a bit.
Yeah, there's a great sequence. there's a great sequence where she decides like one of the paths is not for her and just kind of like becomes an agent in that scenario, which I really loved.
Yeah.
But I did that spiritual angle in episode 3 really kind of felt like the first turn. So I won't say.
All right, yeah, we can just keep it at that there's a reckoning with, okay, is there a spiritual element here? Should I look at this as a possible solution or a possible path to go down? Which is fascinating and cool, I think, in this context.
I completely agree.
One thing I did want to shout out as well, although this is just a brief shout out, Jamie Babbitt directed several episodes of this show. Now, I've been in love with Natasha Lyonne. Not really, but you know what I mean. Like, I've been a fan of Natasha Lyonne since 1999 with a movie called But I'm a Cheerleader, which is like classic gay movie. Like one of the
it's like
most
the first,
classics.
It's like the first one you get access to.
Exactly. It's like when you join the gay club, when you come out of the closet
and they hand you a gift basket and there's a couple of movies
in
there.
There
and it's like, oh, welcome.
Okay, if you like girls...
you get But I'm a Cheerleader.
But I'm a Cheerleader is like the ceremonious like first.
It truly is.
First film.
I swear to God, this is a real genuine ass story. Yeah. But in 2002, when I started college and I joined my very first gay straight alliance in college, the first movie we watched for gay movie night was But I'm a Cheerleader.
It's like dead.
Which was like a relatively new movie at the time. It was only like 3 years old at the time. I was like, oh yeah, this is a really good movie. Like, let's watch this great movie. Now I'm like, it's 20 years old.
It's
directed by Jamie Babbitt. Sorry, to connect that. And starring Natasha Lyonne, who was a cheerleader, who was like, I can't be gay. I'm a cheerleader. That's the whole point.
That's the whole thing.
They go to it in the movie. They go to... It's basically a comedy about a like gay conversion camp, which is a very dark subject matter, but this is like a very tongue-in-cheek comedy. It's very pro-queer kind of story. Jamie Babbitt's a queer director. I think she wrote the movie as well. So like there's this beautiful connection for me of it being like, oh my God,
after
this is the
But
I'm a Cheerleader star and director working together on this like beautiful series. It's not about the same thing, of course, but I thought that was cool.
But it is also like treating like some seriously dark concepts. I mean, there's a lot of, concepts and like conversations around like mental health and like drug use and things like that, that are treated with comedy and darkness. Like often the way these things often is the way that we like cope through these kinds of things. So, yeah, it's amazing to see that all of these episodes were directed by women. This is like a super woman-led project or TV show.
I think the writing staff was like predominantly, if not exclusively, women as well, which is
Natasha.
You often get like showrunners and maybe a director, but not usually like top
whole
to bottom.
Bunch of staff.
Most of the cast is also just women, which great, love it. Natasha Lyonne directs like four of the episodes herself. I don't know which episode specifically. Yeah. I forget. I mean, obviously, Leslie Headland directed the other four. She's like the lead director, I think. But Natasha's performance in general is just absolutely
exasperated. It's just chain smoking. Like it's feels very real. Like that's one of the things I really enjoyed about the show was that there are different ways you can approach like high concept conceits, which is the characters are willfully ignorant of their situation and just don't talk about it. And like that's a way of like the audience interacts with the characters. Or I appreciate what this show does is the complete opposite direction, which is like every person she talks to, she's like, why don't you believe me? Like, I am going through this thing. I need you to understand that I'm going through. And she has like, I'm sure this like peters off as the show goes along, but at least in the first two episodes, like there are at least two encounters per episode where she is explaining what is happening to her and why she should be believed. And it's just, it's refreshing because it grounds the character in a certain logic.
Totally.
And a certain believability that it's like, oh, if something this wild was happening to you, like you would try and explain it to people. And it'd be natural for people to be like, what?
And she's like, fine, you don't get it? Whatever. I just need to get what I need from you then.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, fuck it, whatever. I'm just going to like... give me the information I need and let me get the fuck out of here and die again and do this again. But yeah, she like immediately takes it seriously and immediately is like, all right, this is just what it is now. I just got to figure this shit out. Cause what else am I going to fucking do? It's like dealing with the MTA. It's like, well,
it truly is.
The L train's just going to be like this now, so I'm just going to fucking deal with it and like just like barrel my way through and just get to the other side somehow.
God, that is the most perfect metaphor. The MTA and dealing with repeated death. I think that is like, you got it. You nailed it. That was perfect.
But yeah, there's something to Natasha's performance that just feels like the most New York response to what this would be. It's like the most, you know, sure of herself, but also, you know, not ready to take things at face value and ready to kind of find her own truth in them, and regardless if other people are going to recognize that or not. But she doesn't like, yeah, it's really good. Yes. Really impressive performance by her.
Highly recommended.
Highly recommended.
Always been a bit of a slept on, I think, performer until more recently with the sort of Netflix revolution a little bit.
Yeah, it's wild to me.
She's in like a lot of teen comedies in the 90s and early 2000s, and like that's fine. She was always funny, but
a long ass career.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like she was a child actress or child actor, like from the age of like 4 or 6 or something. She was in like not Mickey Mouse Playhouse, but one of those. Or maybe it was that one. And then worked. She's like quoted in this article. She was like, I worked from when I was like 6 to 24 nonstop.
Oh my God, yeah.
And then I took a break and then I kind of came back with things like Orange is the New Black and I think she was on like Portlandia and different things like that. So super long, impressive career. I'm on the 5th or 6th episode. Good. I've just finished the 5th episode, so I've got 3. There's only 8 episodes in the whole season. I'm not sure if it's been like, I think it's been greenlit for a season 2.
That's a good question. I actually have no idea.
I think it's gotten great reception so far from what I've seen. So I'm excited to finish that and find out what is going on with
if we
Nadia.
Find out.
If we find if. Out. Exactly. Also her cat's name is Oatmeal.
Yeah.
And then her best friend Maxine has 2 fishes named Ketchup and Mustard, and it's really good. Or 2 fish, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's very good. I think that's. Do we have any other thoughts on Russian Doll? I think that
covers it, unless you want to spoil some things as you go on, which we don't.
Yeah, I think we'll.
We should revisit it in like a future waypoint. Like,
yeah. Let's definitely do
a
that.
A couple weeks,
because I
then
think
we can do a spoiler segment at the end of a waypoint.
And totally.
See how it lands, because it's easy enough for a lot of people. Even I will end up finishing this show. But 25 minutes, I can do that for
episodes. Just like had it in the background yesterday as I was doing work, and I was like, oh shit, I'm almost done. I should stop and like breathe for a sec.
Breathe a little bit.
Yeah. So our next segment brought to us by Patrick Klepek.
Orlando Apollo, Patrick Klepek.
I don't know. Don't
all
commit
right.
me to the Orlando Apollos.
Right.
We are collectively going to decide. So
Patrick has a request.
I do.
A demand?
A demand, because I need to figure this out before this weekend, before the second games are played.
Okay.
My Chicago Bears, due to a double doink, did not progress further in the NFL playoffs.
Excuse me?
Double doink.
Yes?
What was that?
Mm-hmm. The double doink?
Mm-hmm.
Just look it up on Google Image Search. I'm sure that won't bring you any weird search results.
Yep.
Double doink?
Yep. Safe search on.
Safe search off.
Safe search.
It's all football.
It's probably all been replaced. Whatever pornography was there a month ago is no longer there. Replaced by a football
hitting.
Oh,
it's when it hit the thingy and then it hit it again.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Well, correct. Sorry, I should have phrased it that way, then, you know.
Then all the porn.
Yeah. So the Bears are really good this year, and I'm sad to see football be over. It is, like, far and away, despite caveating all the problems with it, like, as a pure athletic sport, it is far and away my favorite. So I was like, well, oh, shit, okay, that's gone till August, like, before they, you know, spin up preseason. And usually you just, you know, move on with your life. But the Alliance of American Football, a 8-team brand new league, started this past weekend. It was smart to do it the week after the Super Bowl. It is, like I said, an 8-team league. We'll get to the teams in just a moment, but it is It's because it's only eight teams, it's only running through, I think, the end of April when they have whatever their Super Bowl equivalent is going to be. Mm-hmm. It's viewed by some as maybe a developmental league. Like, developmental leagues, if you don't follow a lot of sports, like, often what that means in other sports, it's well integrated into the sport itself, is where, like, maybe even draft a player, but they need, like, a season or two, and rather than throwing them into the fire of, like, professional play, like, they go and play this in this developmental league where they are assigned to a team, but they won't actually be on that official roster for a couple of years. Or if a player goes undrafted, like, there's just not that many places for them to go. So it's like, maybe you were good enough to get into the NFL draft, but then no one ended up picking you. It's like, well, what do you do after that? And so it's long been thought that the NFL should have a developmental league where players that either spin out of the NFL, maybe they get an injury and then don't get picked up again, just somewhere where they could go and play and people could potentially show their skills and get drafted into the NFL, or just to have like a different league that is playing when the primary one, the NFL, isn't right. happening. So the Alliance of American Football, this is their first season. It was inspired by a documentary filmmaker who was working on did the ESPN 30 for 30 on the XFL,
nice. Which
was a one-season failed alternative to the NFL that was run by Vince McMahon of the WWE, or I guess probably WWF back when that was going on. Yeah, and Vince McMahon is bringing back the XFL for 2020, and the XFL was like pretty radically different from football. It was XFL because it was supposed to be more extreme, so it's supposed to be more violent, as like NFL was getting legislating violence out of the sport, or as much as they could. The XFL was ramping stuff like that up.
Like performatively?
Yeah, it also, kinda. I believe, well, it was also meant to be much, much goofier. Like, I didn't watch the XFL, but if I remember correctly, like, rather than doing a coin flip to determine who gets the ball, the ball was just placed at the center of the field and you ran to go get it.
Okay.
Like dodgeball. Like dodgeball in elementary school. I believe that was the case. But the Alliance of American Football is like much more similar to basic or normal football. There's like a couple of different wrinkles for people who are familiar with sort of NFL rules. So like there's no kickoffs. Mm-hmm. So you don't kick the ball and then try and run it up the field or kneel. You just start at the 25-yard line. There are no extra point kicks, which is, you know, when you get a touchdown, you're supposed to like, you know, get the seventh point on a field goal. That's just gone. You have to do a two-point conversion. There are no onside kicks. An onside kick is where you will try and like, the ball has to go 10 yards, and then if you recover it, you can get the ball back again. This doesn't exist here. It's just if you want to try the equivalent of an onside kick, you have to gain 12 yards on a single one-time play, and then you get to keep it. It's weird.
Huh. Yeah, that one is – I kind of got the logic of the first, like, four there, and then that one's like, okay.
Yeah, it's odd, but it's interesting. It's different. Yeah. And so anyway, I want to watch more football, even if it's bad football. And so I need to pick a team. There are only eight teams, and there was not a team from Chicago, so I can't default to just, you know, my hometown.
Uh-huh.
And so I need everyone here at Waypoints to help me figure out who I'm going to root for. We're not rooting based on – it's not based on players. It's not – you know, it's like we're just – this is going to be an emotional journey to see which – where we landed. Oh, and also one thing that's interesting is that the eight teams, only two of them are in cities that have an existing NFL team. I don't know if it was strategic or just, like, accidental, but it is cool that, like, the other six of the teams are in places that don't have an established football franchise. So, that leads us with the Arizona Hotshots, who are currently 1-0. Legends, who are currently...
Remind me, it's WL, right? Win, then loss.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. The Atlanta Legends... who are 0-1. The Birmingham Iron, 1-0. Memphis Express, 0-1. Orlando Apollos, 1-0. Salt Lake Stallions, 0-1. San Antonio Commanders, 1-0. And the San Diego Fleet, 0-1. I believe the Birmingham Iron have established the first blowout loss in which the other team did not score a single point.
Oh,
so that's, you know, potentially a point in their favor. Although, the reason I didn't look up players is because I don't want this to be based on skill. So it's like...
Yeah,
I don't
I'm
pick
just going
Birmingham
off names
Iron
here.
Just because they're good. I don't have to root for a good team. You can root for an underdog. So I really encourage people to look up the logos for all these teams because, as Kato pointed out, these just look like they're from Overwatch League.
Can I see like colors? I want to see colors.
Yes, I hear. In the doc, if you go down to
those logos,
the reference materials, which is just called those logos.
Those Thank logos. You. Yes. Let me take a look. If I may, while we are looking at these, one of my great pleasures in life, which is my one of my father's great pleasures in life, is he enjoys. I love developmental leagues in general. I'm much more of a. I'm more familiar with it from baseball, of course. I grew up in a town that had. The AAA team for the Boston Red Sox, the Pawtucket Red Sox. Grew up going to those games every summer, every spring, every fall, and I worked at the stadium for a while when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. So, like, a lot going on there. I like AAA ball quite a bit. I think it's a great thing because, of course, you see athletes who are injured, who are, you know, great legends, you know, on the big team, kind of coming down, rehabbing a little bit, getting their speed up, you know, kind of repping their skills. And also you see people kind of on their way up or on their way down, which is like, it's nice to have something for that. Maybe you're not the absolute best yet, or maybe you're kind of like, you know, getting a little long in the tooth. You can still get paid to play for a couple more years. So that's like a generally good thing. Anyway, all this is to say, AAA leagues or developmental leagues can have way weirder mascots and way weirder names and way weirder mm-hmm. stuff. And my dad enjoys going to games with, like, the weirdest names. Like, his favorite so far was the Jupiter, Florida Hammerheads. So the Jupiter Hell Hammerheads. Yeah. There's also, like, the Neptune Flotsams. It's, like, it's wild.
Are we in space?
It is wild. Some of the names for, like, AAA, or not even AAA, even, like, AA. Baseball has several tiers. Like, the what more A's, the better.
Natalie, what was your name for Groundhog Day earlier? That could be one of the names of these teams.
The Puxitawneys.
I was going to ask again, what did I get wrong? Puxitawney?
Yeah, that's you said Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Just like
yeah, the Pennsylvania.
Puxitawney is the way you say it.
Puxitawney.
The Pennsylvania Puxitawneys.
I think that's great. And then there's something. There's a something Iron Pigs, which made me think Birmingham Iron. It's like the God. What is it? It's some town in Pennsylvania. The Iron Pigs.
Scranton.
It's not far from that. It's like a smaller town than Scranton, but it's not far from there. I don't think.
Go ahead, Natalie. Please.
I would like to describe these logos
yes,
for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The first one is Firewatch. Because
Arizona Hot Shots.
Single one of them has a game. The first one is Firewatch because it's two like fire axes mm-hmm. over fire. Mm-hmm. The second one, so that's the Arizona Hot Shots. Mm-hmm. The second one is Atlanta Legends, which I
Saints
like.
Saints Row.
Yes,
it is Saints Row.
Saints Row.
It looks like the Kings, the LA Kings hockey.
Yeah.
But I do think this is the most stylish out of all of them. The Birmingham Iron is a metal football with a B on it.
This is just the Raiders.
Armored Core? Is that our Mecca?
That is team? That's Battletech right there. Mm-hmm. Battletech.
Yeah. All right.
Honestly, not loving the creativity here. So Birmingham's already got a notch down in my book. The Memphis Express, which is just the letter E with a plane flying through it. So
wow. Graphic designers out there but on yet, watch.
Graphic design
this
is my
looks
passion.
More like a train. So it's like a plane in the E, and then with the actual typeface has like a train kind of treatment on it.
I'm just eliminating Memphis Express. You're off the list.
You're
gone.
Off it.
All right, eliminated.
Orlando Apollo's is my favorite design because this person seems to be dabbing.
okay.
Wow, I didn't think of that interpretation, but that
That's
is
really
plus
good.
One for Orlando Apollo.
Yes,
really
that
good.
That is really for the
Also
people.
Has the best font.
Yes.
Can I just, as an aside, when I was at Disney World this week, one of the few adult rides I got to go on was one night some friends came with, and my wife hates rides that just drop, and I love rides that just like go high.
Like Tower of Terror?
Drop. Yeah,
like
so we went
the
on
elevator
Tower of Terror. Right.
Oh, yes, I love
Tower
of Terror.
I came out at the Tower of Terror to my mom. Sorry, go ahead.
What?
I truly did.
Hold on. Second side story. We'll get back to mine. Excuse me. If you're comfortable telling that story, Danielle.
I sure am.
That is...
Please?
So I was 17. I had my first girlfriend, and I was thinking about how to tell my mom we were on a family vacation. We weren't on the ride. We were at the ride.
You were in the experience
We were sitting
part?
On the benches at the gift
okay,
shop.
Gotcha.
Waiting for my dad to get off the ride. And I told her I was queer, and she was like, what? That's it.
Oh my god!
Dang!
Wow, that's a great story.
Tower of Terror, appropriate.
I love that ride. Now it's extra special.
Very good.
I'm glad yours is still there because the one in LA is gone.
They got rid of it.
They got rid of it.
How
yeah.
dare they?
It's Tron or something.
It's the
now.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh,
it's,
is it? Fuck. Anyway,
I think that's what they replaced it with. So I'm on the ride, and so I got to go on the ride instead of watching my daughter. And so it's before spring break in Florida right now. So like I guess a lot of what Disney does is like they get you know. They hold different events. Like, there's different, like, things to try and, like, encourage people to come before, like, the busy season kicks mm-hmm. up. And I guess this weekend was, like, some huge cheerleader event, like a finals or something like that. So there were just, like, all sorts of, like, really talented cheerleaders from around the country. So you just, like, couldn't go anywhere without seeing, like, some sort of person leading a group of kids who were in, you know, some sort of, like, school, like,
garb.
Logo. And so our... the elevator we got in was like it was my group of four that I was with, and then just a whole like selection of 25 teenage cheerleaders, and you know they wanted to be very coordinated on
the
picture,
yes.
And so I was you know I was going to do what I just normally you know just scream, but then like this girl in the front goes, "We dabbing," and then I was like, "Cool. I'm in for this." And so then, with my fellow teens, like, I'll have to pull up the photo. I'll send it
Please,
later.
Wait,
I didn't
you
pay
got
for
the
it,
photo?
But so the way Disney works now is, like, they can scan your FastPass
right,
card.
Right.
And
right.
then
I did
you get
that.
The photos on the app. So I have, like, the thumbnail version. I'm
Amazing.
Not sure I intend to pay
Please,
$15
you
for
need
the high-quality version.
You need
but
to.
But there's the whole Tower of Terror group of all of us. There's the three friends with me who are just having none of this, and then me with the dab
Amazing.
With my teens.
Wow.
It was a lot, and it was extremely good.
Oh, a true ally to the youth, Patrick Klepek.
Look, you know, I want to make sure, you know, as I begin to raise, you know, my daughter into the world, I want to make sure I'm in touch and I'm listening.
Yes.
And I'm thoughtful and I'm mm-hmm. participating.
Cool dad.
Love
and
it.
So that's what I'm doing.
I commend you.
I don't know. How did we arrive there?
Orlando Apollo's dab.
Right, sure.
Dab.
Yeah.
Actually,
all right, so
yeah.
I'm gonna bold Orlando Apollo's because
yes.
I feel like they're moving up in my hierarchy. So
I
they're
like
my
them
first
a lot.
Like maybe. So Memphis is out, Orlando Apollo's is in. All right, because mm-hmm. of the dabbing. All
yeah.
right, now I'm like working my brain backwards to how we
yes.
got back to that
podcast.
But
I'm a cheerleader. Yeah, yes.
Salt Lake Stallions, I like their name the most. Mm-hmm. Stallions.
Mm-hmm.
That just
yeah.
really is evocative.
It's expressive.
For me.
Like,
yeah.
it, like,
but.
But
we don't think
we're
ripping off the Lions too much. We even have Lion in the name.
The Lions?
Detroit Lions.
It does kind of look like,
but
the,
it's a different
yeah,
animal.
It is a different animal.
True. Also,
but
like,
I feel like there's a horse.
Honestly, stallions are cooler than lions. If like we're being honest.
Excuse me. I don't know.
What is that? Is that the most controversial thing I've said on this podcast?
It might have been. It might.
There was
have
a lot of pause. Like even Kato audibly from off in the distance, like excuse me.
Lions
over there.
Are pretty cool.
I think
I'm not saying
okay.
lions aren't cool. I'm just
there's
saying stallions got like
stallions.
A certain grandeur to
there's
them.
Glitter in stallions. Think about a really nice shiny stallion.
Oh shit!
Just majestic on its two hind legs.
That's the real
with
thing.
Its mane blowing. There's glitter on it. Anyway.
All right, okay. Stallions are going, they're being elevated to a consideration tier.
Yeah, I would put an underline or italicize. Maybe not a full bold, but one.
Okay.
Yeah.
San Antonio Commanders, which just has a fucking sword on it.
Lame.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Do better. The one...
Wow.
The last one is the San Diego Fleet, which is Sea of Thieves, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But also, it's not Sea of Thieves because it's not like a fun boat. It's like a scary one.
Well, I feel like the
no,
commander
it's like, let's,
has
hey,
the...
are you into the military-industrial complex? Sign up for the San Diego Fleet.
Yeah, I'm getting...
You out,
I'm
you're
putting,
gone.
I'm putting...
I love San Diego, but no, sorry.
Yeah. So what are we left with?
Hot shots? Arizona. So
top
on the
tier?
On the bold tier,
okay.
We have the Orlando Apollos.
Yeah.
On the italics tier, we have Salt Lake Stallions.
Yeah.
And then on the yet to be determined tier, we have the Arizona Hotshots, Atlanta Legends, and the Birmingham Iron. And we've crossed out the Memphis Express, the San Antonio Commanders and the San Diego Fleet. So okay. We need to figure out how we feel. Good I feel like Birmingham Atlanta Legends.
I don't like Iron.
You're being presumptive. You're not Legends yet.
Right. Yeah, you know what? Right. I agree. The Atlanta Legends is really just...
But it's aspirational.
That's true. I don't think it's
aspirational. And I like Atlanta.
I don't think it's aspirational. To me, it feels... what's it called when you... Breakfast. Entitled.
Braggadocio.
That's not a word I've ever heard before. Braggadocious?
Yeah. Braggadocio.
Is that a real word? That's I real like word. It.
It is.
Yeah. Braggadocious. Arizona Hotshots, I don't like the idea that the theme is axes because I don't like people like holding toy axes at the football game that I'm at. That scares me.
That's true.
So
but they can down.
Fire was bad last year, 2018.
That's yeah. True.
No. True that. Not although if fire, we're going by the male stripper like tiers here.
Please.
Firefighters way above military and cops and things like that, right?
That's true.
And this is like firefighter, you know.
They help people.
Yeah, sure.
I'm just saying.
I'm letting you take the reins on this one.
when you're arranging for a male entertainer to come to your party and entertain,
like you do.
Are you talking about later today, Danielle?
Maybe. You know,
it's Galentine's Day.
It's Galentine's. I might go to a Galentine's party tomorrow. We don't know.
Hell yeah. I would say that, yes, if I, you know what? I'm not going to say. I'm not making a statement on this subject, but I'm letting you have a platform.
I'm just saying, if we're going by male entertainer rules, hot shots deserve a shot.
Okay.
Because firefighters are the hottest of those categories.
All right, I'll elevate them to italics tier.
Okay.
Okay. So what do we got in italics? Stallions?
Birmingham and Iron, I guess we haven't figured out.
No, I hate it. I hate it so Fair. Much. That's the one I hate the most.
Birmingham Glitter, however, would have been.
Oh, yeah. I would have liked that. Yeah.
Birmingham Meccas?
That would have been good. Nice. Okay, if Ozzy was here, he would definitely go for Iron. I know it. But
yeah, he would make the mecha argument. He'd find some obscure anime that referenced iron that like would loop around
iron
somehow.
Orphans.
Oh,
Kato there says iron blooded orphans, which sound
it's a Gundam.
Okay.
Of course it is. I mean, and then I don't have like the other angle. You know, Danielle's got her angle on the male strippers that these logos represent.
Sure.
We could also do it from the city. But I haven't visited most of these cities. I was in Orlando, but I was in Disney, so I don't have a feeling on Orlando.
That's it,
says
Arizona
Kato.
Is a
state.
That's a state. That's not a city, is it? Arizona.
It's beautiful.
I'm just saying, like, what the hell?
Yeah,
like,
true.
All the others are cities.
Why are you using a whole fucking state?
Well, I guess it fits
like
with the hotshots things. Like, hey... Well, Hotshots.
Oh, I don't like that. I never thought about that. I hate it.
All right, you're out of here. All right,
it's out.
Arizona Hotshots removed.
No entitlement.
I have an idea.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The coolest thing. Apollo is a god and a really fucking cool god. We have established the stallions are a very cool animal.
Yeah.
Who else is even still on here?
Birmingham.
I think
those are the last two, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Austin's not here to
defend the iron.
To stand for Birmingham Iron, so we're left with the bold Orlando Apollos and the italic Salt Lake Stallions. But I feel like we've spent this whole thing just trying to convince ourselves we aren't going with the Orlando Apollos.
Yeah, it's the coolest.
Here's
Come on.
The thing.
Let's be real.
Yep.
The Orlando Apollos have won one game, and the Salt Lake Stallions have lost one game.
All right.
Well, so are we underdogging it? Are we underdogging it, or are we?
Let me see how much they lost by.
Oh, that's a good call. Wait, I thought we weren't going to look at stats.
Well, we are now because we're getting down to it.
That's true.
Okay. I will say Salt Lake City is a beautiful place.
Yeah, I like trees.
It's very pretty. It's a very like aesthetically pleasing city.
Orlando is like corporate greed.
It is.
So,
but there's also like queer Orlando, and there's not nearly as much queer Salt Lake. There is queer Salt Lake. Mm-hmm. I've seen it. I've been there. I've done it. There's a lot more queer Orlando. So by gay standards, I like how today I've gone by like male entertainer standards and then gay standards. Like
it's your birthday.
The place.
You can do whatever the
all
fuck you want.
All over the place here today.
Okay. The Orlando Apollos won a 40-6.
40-6?
Yep.
Okay.
And the San Diego Fleet lost 6-15. Which not that's
wait
you
who?
Know, that's not.
You mean the Salt?
Sorry. Sorry.
Wow, you're already getting the name of our future team wrong.
The Salt Lake Stallions lost 22-38. So a respectable.
That's not as bad.
Line.
Yeah.
It's not a. It's not a.
Not a blowout.
Man. Okay. Do we have to go for the underdog? I did say that I didn't want to go for the.
Yeah, but everyone's only won one.
Yeah, this is. It's hard to.
But
that's true.
Orlando Apollo has won by 34 points.
Who did they beat?
Yeah, who did they beat?
Might help.
They beat the the Atlanta Legends.
Well,
not
there
so
you
much
go.
A legend.
There you go.
Legend. Atlanta.
Glad we got rid
legends.
Of them. I need people to show up, okay? I need people to show up for the game if I'm going to be rooting for them.
All right, we'll say, you know, we'll leave this. We'll leave it between these two. Mm. This is going to be published before the games are this Sunday.
Yeah.
Weigh in. Give me some arguments, the Orlando Apollo,
yes,
the Salt Lake Stallions.
Kato is going to make a Twitter poll with the publishing of
good.
This.
Good. And I will accept the results of the Twitter poll. That will be the formal decision I make. I will leave it out of my hands. We have given everyone the arguments, and now the people will decide which of the Alliance of American Football teams I will put on in the background on Sundays.
For the next 2 months.
For the next 2 months, because I'm desperate.
Hell yeah.
I love it.
All right.
I love it.
All perfect. Right. Thank you.
We
thank
did
you
good.
For going
we
on this
good.
Journey with me.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what happens, because I won't be watching, but I will be learning from you. I don't care about football. I don't know.
Okay.
I appreciate that you do, though, and Rob and Austin do. That's good for you guys. Anyway.
Oh, my. I feel like I was dragged.
No,
but
you're not
I
being
don't
dragged.
Know how to, uh-huh.
You're not being dragged. I'm just not a huge fan of football.
That's full. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. I was a cheerleader once. In
but
sixth
I'm a
grade.
Cheerleader.
I was a cheerleader in sixth grade, and so I know one football cheer, which is what... Mm-hmm. Which is 1st and 10, do it again. Clap, 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 clap. 1st and 10, do it again. Clap, 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 clap.
This is incredible. This is incredible.
Anyway, we were the Bears.
The Bears.
We were a flag football team.
You know, that's good. That's very good.
You know what? I think flag football should be okay. You know what? I'm not making this take right now.
No.
I think all football should be flag football. In my humble IMHO. Don't at me, please. Thanks for listening to this podcast. I'm gonna bring us out. our thanks to Too Mellow for the track "Slide Asleep" off the album After. Or do you have anything else you want to say, y'all?
Just thank you for being here.
Thank you
on my beautiful birthday.
You better announce Mario Maker 2, you cowards.
In 8 minutes, yeah.
Oh, we gotta go.
Oh, yeah, we gotta go. I gotta wrap this up. Nintendo Direct time. Our thanks to Too Mellow for the track "Slide Asleep" off the album After Midnight. You can find that at 2mellowmakes, that's the numeral 2, .bandcamp.com. You can keep up with all of us at waypoint.vice.com. Danielle, where can people find you?
You can find me at Danielle R.I.
on the Twitter machine.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick, please grace us with your Twitter presence.
You can find me looking at jerseys that I'm going to purchase for my future football stand at Patrick Klupik.
Excellent. Kato.
I would wear an Apollo's jersey. That is a pretty logo.
It's cool. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Kato, our dedicated podcast producer, who, as he said, will be posting a poll for all y'all to vote on the Stallions versus the Apollos. You can find him at Kato. Wait, fuck.
At Kato. Wait,
okay.
Fuck.
At A _ Kato _ appears on Twitter. That'll do it for this week's Waypoints. We hope you've enjoyed the break. Please be sure to rate and review us if your podcast platform of choice allows such a thing. I think we're a 5-star cast, but it's not for me to say. Actually, you know what, Rob? It is for me to say. I do think we're a 5-star cast, so.
Yeah.
Shout outs to our reviews. They're great right now. We read them. The reviews that you leave us, the comments that you leave us, we read them, and they mean a lot when they're nice. When they're not nice, I don't care. But when they're nice, I like them.
Hell yeah.
Anyway, we'll be back again with, what are we going to be back again with? Be Good and Rewatch It tomorrow, where Patrick and Danielle.
That was actually today.
Oh, fuck. Today. Never mind. If you haven't listened to Be Good, Rewatch It, it happened yesterday. It just, and it's on Event Horizon, so give that a listen. It's in its own feed. Search Be Good, Rewatch It. Be Good and Rewatch It on your podcast platform of choice. Our next podcast on this feed will be Lore Reasons on Friday, tomorrow.
Waypoint Radio.
Wait, what? What happened to Lore Reasons?
Yeah, that's going on Monday, because we're off Monday.
Oh, that's right, because we're off.
Well, okay. Okay, so I guess tomorrow we're doing a Waypoint Radio. Huh? Rob, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't have knighted me. I don't know.
Rob, no, Nat,
you did a wonderful job hosting.
Thank you.
Do not let this stumble, like, undercut.
I will not fumble the ball, as you know, as a football would say.
First and 10. Let's do it.
No,
again.
It's first and 10. Wait. I don't know why I sang it. Okay. Listen to our podcasts that are coming. I don't know what they are. Hope you'll join us for those. And join us again next week for Waypoints. But until then, do not give in to astonishment.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.